cocktail fans, and welcome to episode 71 of The Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure. I'm Dave, along with my fellow co-hosts, and Jason's giving me a very puzzled, quizzical look.
I thought the last one was 71.
No, it was 70.
Huh. It had a 7 in it, though. You gotta give me that.
Okay, you're 50% there.
Once it gets past about 20, it's really hard to keep track.
Sure it is.
That's right.
Found in long-term memory.
And as I think I said on that other one, we should stop saying what episode it is, and then we could just slot these guys in whenever we want them.
All right.
I don't know. I'm Honest Abe here. I don't like swindling our listeners of their content.
There you go. Yes, you're right. You're the content
swindler.
He's like the FCC.
Yep. Is he?
He's the FCC?
Sure, yeah. Federal Communications Commission.
Yeah. Right. Coin. He's the FCC. P.
And you are?
I'm Jason.
And I'm with
the FBI.
I remain and always will be Fred Partridge. Unless something happens and I am forced to change my name.
Right.
Which could happen at any time.
It works for you.
It's not really working for me, to be honest. No, I don't think so. No. Elton John changed his name. It was original Dwight.
Reg.
Reg. Maybe it was just Reg. Reg. That would be original, wouldn't it? But he went by Reg. Dwight.
Reg Dwight.
He changed it to Elton John.
Because he hated his name.
Yeah.
Like Morrissey. Hated his first name, Stephen.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do that anymore. Yeah. Wow. Morrissey. That's it.
That's it.
One name.
He seems like a total Steve Morrissey.
He does, doesn't he? Stephen.
He'd be one of those.
Steve.
Hey, like Stephen Malloy.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so I think if I'd had a catchier moniker, I'd be a lot famouser.
What about Frederick Partridge? No?
No, I think you're going in the wrong direction.
Okay.
Right, but you actually are Frederick Partridge.
No.
No?
Frederick.
Oh, you're Frederick. Not Frederick.
It took me years to get that fixed. It was all over the place. The federal government said, no, you guys, I wrote it this way, and then you fixed it, but it was never broken. That's how things get started.
Okay.
All right. So Fred Rick.
Yep.
Why don't you go by Fred Rick Partridge or F Rick?
Or just Frick. Frick.
Frick.
Frick.
Frick. Yeah. Frick Partridge.
Huh.
Frick.
No, just Frick.
Just Frick. Okay.
Oh, the opposite of Morrissey.
Yeah.
Frick. No Partridge, just Frick.
Just Frick.
Frick.
All right.
No.
Because
if some of you're going to show up and someone's going to say, Frick.
Yeah. Or worse.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, stick with Frank Parker here for a while.
Frank Parker. That's true. Frank Parker, Private Eye. Yeah. How's that going?
It's all in the works.
Yeah, no, I know.
We don't even do the music cue anymore.
No.
Frank Parker.
You can put it in later.
I could. But normally we would say it like that.
Yeah.
I thought of a great name for a private detective. Frank Dozoff. Narcoleptic detective.
Yeah. Not a very effective detective.
That's the ineffective detective. Frank Dozoff.
No.
Narcoleptic Flatfoot. Narcoleptic Dick. The ineffective.
That'd be really awful.
Most of the show is just the listing of the title and stuff, and then a snoring noise.
Yeah, and we're out.
Yeah.
I like it, though. I think it's got some potential.
Yes.
You got me at Narcoleptic Dick.
Narcoleptic.
Narcoleptic.
Fun with words. I heard on the radio today, it was an ad for a local car dealership.
Mm-hmm.
And they said you can get the ultimate car at the ultimate price. And I thought,
the ultimate price?
That's death, isn't it?
I think it is. When you pay the ultimate price.
Your death car.
Wow.
It's like getting in your Bonnie and Clyde car. Your end is near.
Is this like a human sacrifice? Like you bring along somebody and say, you said it was, do I just slit their throat now?
I can do it. Is there a room? Plastic down? Sheets?
In case they want to reuse it.
It was very strange. Yeah. I don't know if I'll hear it again. It's the sort of thing that someone's going to write in about.
Yeah.
But yes, it was local car dealership. The ultimate car at the ultimate price. Give me the shivers.
Broke up my cold sweat.
I hope Jennifer's not looking for a car right now.
I don't want to pay the ultimate price.
No.
Hey, honey. We're going to go pick up my new car, but you have to come along.
Couldn't your dad go?
He's older than me. I still got a lot of good years left.
Yeah.
Quit complaining about your health. I think that's the solution. Just say, hey, I'm right as rain.
Right as rain. No, I'm good. I'll wait here. You call me from the dealership.
Yeah, I'll send Frick.
Yeah, Frick will go.
Yep. Well.
Oh, that was a great episode. It was great.
Thanks for joining us, folks. We'll see you next time.
I'm Frank Dozoff.
Ineffectual. Narcoleptic.
Dick.
Or fun with words.
We should do a couple of cocktails.
Oh, can we?
Shall we?
Well, I can. You guys are off your...
Rockers?
You're off the sauce.
Well, I'm going to have a little sip of each cocktail. But yeah, my stomach been feeling poorly the last couple of days. And so I don't want to risk aggravation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Jason's on your special diet.
I'm on the no doze off.
Free and clear. I like to risk aggravation, so I'm going to have a drink.
Sure. Yeah.
All right, so you will be the key mouth.
Oh, yeah. I'm the key mouth.
Yeah.
And Dave will be our secondary mouth.
And you'll be the no mouth.
And I will be no mouth.
And then later on, I might talk about science of cocktails.
Oh, if I want to talk about it now.
I didn't bring any
paraphernalia?
Visual aids?
No, because it's been a while now. It was 10 days ago.
Yeah, exactly. Because this was our first show of the new year, right?
Sure.
Of the Lunar New Year.
No, the Lunar New Year. Yeah. Good point. For our Ukrainian friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Or the Chinese, whichever. East or
anybody
west.
That's not from here, really, is what we're trying to say.
We recorded it pre-Valentine's Day by a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
You went to the Science of the Cocktail, whatever it's called. Science of Cocktails?
That's exactly what it's called.
Much before Valentine's Day. And now we are post-Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And so that's why it seems like it's been extra long, because a bunch of stuff happened right then.
Oh, yeah. It was like bing, bing, bing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you have any cocktail stories that you were going to be able to add to the pile?
I do not.
Ah.
Huh. Don't feel bad about
you didn't,
that.
You didn't get to the poorhouse?
I did not get to the poorhouse. No, you're here. No, I didn't get to the poorhouse.
Okay. Did you go to that Moroccan restaurant?
Oh, I went to the Moroccan. I highly recommend
it. You highly recommend it?
Yes.
Fantastic. You didn't have to eat with your hands?
No.
Didn't have to.
I could. I did anyway.
Good for you.
A lot of stares.
Everywhere I go.
Needless.
Yeah.
What is our first drink going to be, gentlemen? I did not bring my up-close glasses.
I wanted to go for the... simplest one, but the book's fallen open to the other one, so maybe we'll do that.
All right.
Let's start with the Lucien Gaudin cocktail.
Now, who is Lucien Gaudin?
I'm glad you asked.
Oh.
Partridge.
Point. Counterpoint on Lucien Gaudin.
Okay, I'll talk about
Lucien. Let's hear Fred's, because I did some extra research.
Lucien Arnault, the famous French film actor who died in 1975. Nothing to do with this at all.
Right. But if you're looking up Lucien, he pops
he
up
pops
as well.
Because the A comes before G. So anyway, he'll pop up first. But then, yeah, so Lucien Gaudin was a famous French fencer.
Sacré bleu,
that's right. He's, and that's all it says.
Wow.
No, that doesn't say something like that.
Not much in the way of research.
No. He competed in the 2024 and 2028 Olympics.
Really?
Reading it right here, so it must be true.
Now, was that the sort of Olympics where anybody could still go in? Like, if you were vacationing in town, you could also go in the Olympics?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, the bar was set very low, literally. The bar for high jumping was set very low.
Right, and limbo was still in the...
Limbo was still an Olympic sport. Yes, he won in 24 and 28. But yeah, those are the days when true amateurs would... although there's a picture of him all dressed up. And he looks like he pretty much knows what he's doing. He's standing there the right way. He's got a
garb,
a sword thing.
Sure, the stick with the pointy end.
Yeah, he's got the handle on the one end and the point on the other.
And he's holding it the right way.
He's holding it the right way, so it looks like he knows what he's doing.
So a fencing championship.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a champion.
Champion.
What have you got?
I have to say, I hate to tell you, but I'm afraid poor Lucianne came to a rather bad end.
Uh-oh. Really? Yeah. Car accident?
Oh, no, I'm not going to tell you anymore. I quit.
Do I challenge the home viewer?
Yeah, see if you can find a website that'll tell you anything about him.
Yes, he won gold or silver medal in every event he entered, accumulating 4 gold and 2 silver medals. Huh. And he is tied for first place for the best French Olympics performance.
Wow. Then he deserves a cocktail.
And apparently the French were so, because he's French. So the French were saying, we should name a cocktail after him. And so they did. And according to drinkboy.com, that's if you're not quite a gentleman. You're still a drink boy. The next step up is a gentleman of elegant leisure.
Right.
They said this drink has got a bit of a European flair because of its use of gin, vermouth, Cointreau, and Campari.
Right. It is. It's really the EU.
Yeah.
Of drinks. Really is, yeah. Italian vermouth, Italian Campari, British gin, and French Cointreau.
Yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
I never looked at it that way before.
Actually, it's probably French vermouth because it's not the sweet one. It's dry.
It's right. Dry vermouth. Yeah.
But even the cocktail wasn't enough to save poor Lucien Godin.
Oh, dear.
After his tremendous Olympic career, he started a film company.
Wow.
Worked as a journalist.
Sounds like a recipe for success.
And his film company went bankrupt in 1934, and he promptly committed suicide.
Wow. Okay, guy just had no... He didn't.
I can't say whether he had a cocktail before the end event, but...
I think if he'd had a cocktail...
I guess you could say he paid the ultimate price.
I'm
afraid.
Yeah.
Well, that's a rough end.
Sad. Yeah.
Well, I guess you see the problem is that with all the gold and silver in every event he did, he was not prepared to handle any failure.
Right.
In the 1934...
I'm prepared to handle failure.
Oh, you're built for failure.
You bet I am. Bring it on.
You're like the Sherman tank of failure. You can bounce back anything.
Oh, yeah. Resilient.
Mm-hmm. Resilient.
Brazilian.
How many is that?
One. Let me count. 2, 3, 4, 5... Mm. Okay. Well, it's a nice looking drink.
Yeah.
No, it's a pretty color, and it should be. A lot of times.
Of course, we thought the communist was going to be a pretty color, and it turned out to be.
But there's really no reason why this shouldn't be that color.
Yes,
because
based on
it's Campari and 3 liquids that have no color at all. It's got to come out at least pink.
Yes, at the very least, pink.
Yeah.
Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum.
So, Fred, one more time, just read us out the ingredients and the measurements of the...
Of course I would. Yeah, I have to do this with my glasses because otherwise I've got to do this with my glasses. So it's 1 ounce of gin, 1/2 ounce of Cointreau, 1/2 ounce of Campari, and 1/2 ounce of dry vermouth. That's the white stuff. The clear, that's not white. Milk is white. It's clear.
Oh,
it's clear.
Milk is white. You're right.
It's clear.
Wow.
So if you're having trouble telling your vermouths apart, this is the one that's got no color.
My vermouth. So you want us to put in 1 ounce of Tanqueray gin.
Yeah, can you pour 1 ounce out of something that big?
I think I can.
You got a 45-gallon drum. We just need 1 ounce of it, though.
Now, as far as the EU goes, this is a nice Brexit cocktail because it still involves the gin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but so, what's going to happen to the Dutch and their gin? With this whole Brexit thing.
Uh-oh.
Does it cost a fortune in Britain to bring in...
Of course it will.
...Dutch gin?
It might.
Well, I guess it really benefits the British, though, doesn't it? At least the distillers.
Except they won't be able to sell their gin to Europe.
Yeah.
You know, Europe.
True. True enough.
You want 1/2 ounce of Campari?
I'll tell you what I want.
Half
an ounce of Campari. And 1/2 ounce of Cointreau, when you get around to it.
And how much vermouth?
Oh, yeah. Also 1/2 ounce. You know what? Except for the gin.
Right.
Really, it's 1/2 ounce of everything.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just going to keep adding to the same thing here, then.
Okay. Can you do that? I guess you can. You're doing it.
Yeah, it's going to end up in the same thing. It's going to end up in your mouth. Come here. Can I mix this in your mouth?
I think they do that in some bars.
I think they probably do. It seems like the sort of thing that they do on a vacation in Mexico.
Yeah, I don't think. I think if you're a gentleman of elegant leisure, you would eschew the mouth mixed drink.
Gesundheit.
I think that's got. Oh, it does have a thread cap on it. I thought maybe it had a cork the way it was spinning there.
No, I was starting to peel off the other portion of the show.
Here we go. Look at that.
Yes.
Oh, you got a steady,
that on top of the gin?
You got a steady hand. I guess that's what comes from not drinking for a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, no, I've been doing a lot of surgery now just in my spare time. All right.
Now what happens?
Now we're going to shake it up.
Do you want me to make you a peel?
Oh, do we need a peel?
A nice appeal is
it says like you can garnish with an orange twist.
Well, let's garnish it with an orange twist.
All right. Let's do the twist.
Nobody really wants to see me twist.
They don't want to see you twist?
I don't think they do.
They say, frick. They want to say, frick, twist.
This one?
Sure. That's the winner.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. And should we throw a little bit? How are we going to do this? We're going to give Dave a little one in here. Give him a little twist?
Sure. Give him a little twist. Just on his nipple, right there.
He doesn't like it. I know from experience. There we go.
Super. Let's give Dave a shot out of the center here, too.
Yeah. That looks pretty.
It does. This looks like a nice drink. Now, it's not as... Did it say to shake it in the instructions? Or did it say to stir it?
Well, let me just see what it says here.
I believe it's...
Stir.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's the same thing. It just doesn't look as clear and as beautiful as it does in the picture. Look at the picture.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Clear as a bell. This one is as muddy as the Thames.
As muddy as the Thames. The muddy Thames. But, it smells nice. I wonder if it's going to be a Negroni-esque.
Could be.
Campari comes through so heavy.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't like Campari, you're not going to like the Lucien Godin.
No, I don't think so.
Ooh. It's my belief.
I believe that you speak the truth, my friend.
Mm.
But I do like Campari.
Good.
I don't know why.
Because you're bitter?
Because we've slowly wormed our way into your... Into your fun games.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the hell that means. It's still not the same color. That has the picture, the reproduction of the picture, has an almost brownish...
Amberish.
Amber.
Amber.
Amber is probably a better word.
Yeah.
Amber.
Right. Amber?
Amber. Remember Boston Rob and Amber?
Yeah.
Amber.
Boston Rob.
Well, I'm going to take a taste.
Yes, here, let me...
Oh, yeah, turn it around there.
Okay. Oh yeah, I'm so busy taking pictures.
Sampling
of my
a
drink.
Shot glass.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm certainly picking up the orange.
Yeah. See, that's the nice thing. Don't eschew the twist.
Hmm. Yeah, that's definitely a bite. With that Campari.
And Fred, do you say that it has a bite of Campari as well?
That's virtually Negroni.
Wow.
But it's not as it's sweeter than a Negroni. Because of the Cointreau.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot.
It's okay.
Because, as you know, I am a fan of the Negroni for no good reason.
And it has cured everything that Dave was suffering from. Look at him. He's dancing now. I see he's dancing all over the room. Fantastico. Wow, so a virtual Negroni. All right, so we got gin, we got Campari, we got vermouth, and we got the Cointreau. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with any of that.
But this is it's a dry vermouth instead of the red vermouth.
Yes.
Or the sweet vermouth. But still, when you add the Cointreau, it's like
Now, Cointreau is an orange liqueur.
Uh-huh.
So do you get orange on the nose from the peel in there and a little bit on the mouth from the orange liqueur, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
The orange is in the background, but it's there.
Okay.
But it plays third fiddle.
Oh, I used to play third fiddle because it was so easy.
It's more of a smell than
a taste. It's more of a smell than a taste.
But
which is cool.
That's what they say about me.
Yeah. I think they say you're an acquired taste.
A quiet place? Cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. And so do you think if you were, say you just won a couple of golds and silvers mm-hmm. at a couple of Olympic Games, and then they said, Lucienne, we've mm-hmm. Created this cocktail for you, what do you think of this? Would you go,
I say, it's just like me, a little bit sweet and a little bit bitter.
En garde!
En garde.
Take that.
Yeah, well, I'd be pleased with that. And I'd be tempted to have a couple of these.
Ah, well, you've jumped ahead of the question. Yes, if you had this at a restaurant, would you order it again? Mm-hmm. Or if you had it at a bar, would you order it again?
Yes to the bar, no to the restaurant.
That's where I was leading. Mm-hmm. Dave is perplexed. He's holding it like a York skull.
Alas, poor York. I don't know if I would order it again.
Mm. Too it's bitter? Okay.
Yeah.
Not enjoyable? You're not having any fun in it?
Mm. Yeah, I guess not having any fun.
Funny thing is, I don't get a big gin hit off of it.
No, that's true. Mm. Yeah, there isn't a big ginniness to it.
It's so like the European powers have overrun the British gin.
As usual. Yeah, I think gin comes in fourth. And the Cointreau third. Mm.
The gin is there to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
To maybe add an herbal element to it,
yeah,
and to bump up the alcohol.
Yeah.
My belief.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know it's not rum, and it's probably not vodka.
Right, because it's got that...
Thank God.
Yes, it's got that little herbal essence.
But it's not...
It's shampoo.
Basically shampoo. This is what I use to wash my hair.
Your lustrous locks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sir Frederick of Locksley.
Mm-hmm. Ah!
Ah!
En garde.
Yeah.
I'm going to have one of those at home. But not, maybe not tonight.
No. You'll have one on the way home tonight.
I have to shovel. Possibly.
Oh, maybe there might be shovel or no shovel.
Yeah. I might just wait it out.
For the fans of weather
mm-hmm.
several days ago or years ago, depending on when you're listening to this, if you're curious as to how February... 19th,
mm-hmm.
2019 yeah. went down mm-hmm. in the lower mainland. At the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
it was a mixed rain and snow.
Yeah, we're not entirely happy. But what are you going to do?
But we're like the U.S. postal system. Mm-hmm. Neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds.
Wow.
He's good.
He was reading that.
Was he?
You could tell by looking at his eyes.
Really?
I'm not off book yet.
I don't look at his eyes.
Oh, I look. That's how you tell if he's lying.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, I did some research on that saying because I thought, you know, it was snowing. I thought, yeah, it's definitely not the slogan of the Canada Post, I can tell you that.
No, neither. What? Never mind.
Never mind.
You want mail?
You want mail? We'll get around to it when we damn well feel like it. No, but I found out that slogan is, although there is no official motto of the U.S. Postal Service, it's supposedly attributed to American postal workers, and the words are carved in granite above the New York Post Office on 8th Avenue.
Oh, in New York City?
In New York City.
We'll check that out next time we're there.
Yes.
But they didn't invent it either.
Oh.
What?
It comes from way long ago. It comes from the ancient world. From the Persian Wars book or document.
Really? Phoenicians had mail?
Those, the Greeks and the Persians.
Oh, okay.
In 449 BC, they were fighting with the Greeks, and the Persians operated a system of mounted postal couriers
mm-hmm.
who served with great fidelity. They never cheated on their wives. They delivered the mail.
The sound was pristine.
Pristine.
It was high fidelity.
Yeah.
So that's where it comes from.
Yet another thing from the Greeks.
Yes.
What did the Greeks ever do for us?
Yeah. The motto of the U.S. Postal Service. The non-motto of the U.S.
The
Postal Service.
The non-motto. The non-binding slogan of the...
Just a bunch of sloganeers.
Can't hold us to anything. Can't prove nothing.
Well, I guess the mail back during the Greek-Persian War was probably even more important than it is today.
Oh, yeah. Because it was all historical.
It would be funny if we were writing sketch comedy. If we were...
If we were.
What's their names? This is sort of one of theirs. This is more of a... the Canadian guys.
Kids in the Hall?
No, the old guys that he sometimes talks about.
The Royal Air Force?
Than the Air Force. I want to see Statler and Waldorf.
It's Wayne and Schuster.
And Schuster. Yeah. Imagine them dressed in togas or something like that.
Talking about the mail.
Yes, and the guy finally comes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all full of advertisements and local realtors and just like, this is all junk mail I still get. You didn't get junk mail back in the Phoenician or the Persian Greek wars.
Maybe you did. Maybe there was an ad for a goat herder.
Just mixed in with the official decrees. Lucretia decree.
Yeah, there was the Cretes are advancing on our position. But if you're looking for a nice getaway in the southern Greek islands, mm-hmm. nothing can be better than Sardinia.
Right.
Which is not Greek.
It's Italian.
That's an awful pamphlet to receive.
You thought you were going to Greece and you're actually going to Italy.
Junk mail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. And a bottle drive for the local
Boy Scouts.
What were the Greek urns for wine called?
Greek urns. Wine urns? I don't know what they were called.
Jugs?
They
would get Jugs magazine delivered in the...
So you called the busty waitress and delivered your jugs.
Lord.
This is my wine aficionado magazine. It's called Jugs.
That's how I get it. My wine delivered.
Yeah. I also get Hustler. It's about people that are real go-getters. They're out there.
Yeah, hustling.
Hustling all the time. I get Hustler, Playboy, and Jugs.
Well, what's Playboy?
It's a theater scene.
Oh, of course.
A men's magazine.
It's like a Drink Boy.
It's like Drink Boy. It's a Playboy.
For theater.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got Playboy, Hustler for the young entrepreneur, and Jugs, which is wine aficionados. I probably got more, but I got to go rinse this thing out.
Exactly. You should rinse something out. Science of the Cocktails, another winner, I think.
Check out our Instagram, folks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We've got a ton of stuff on Instagram from there, didn't we?
Yeah. I don't say a ton of stuff. We do have some of your cocktails that you sampled at... The science?
Oh, yeah, the one with the concrete washed Negroni.
Yes, you commented on this. What does concrete washed mean?
Have you ever licked fresh concrete?
I was bullied in elementary school.
Oh, okay.
But even at my lowest, I never licked fresh concrete.
Yeah, okay.
I kissed older concrete.
Oh. So, it's...
Have you licked fresh concrete?
Yes, apparently, because this seemed very familiar.
Oh.
So it was, they used bentonite powder, which is a food grade mineral, and they used that to, I guess, filter or wash it. So they I guess, shake it and then strain it out. And it tasted like there was you got layers to your cocktail. Well, the bottom layer of this tasted like concrete, like when you smell fresh concrete,
right?
Well, this tasted like it,
wow.
And it was strangely not
unappealing.
It was weird
because
it tasted like rock.
Right.
Maybe I ate a lot too much concrete as a child, but it was a
well. That's an interesting way to look at it, though, because it could be that maybe somebody liked new car smell.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if you could get that essence into a drink, would it actually end up being an appealing thing at the end? You'd go, oh, and it has that? Yeah. And you'd go, that does give me pleasure.
Mm-hmm. That was the most surprising thing. I mean, there was a lot of good stuff, a lot of interesting things, a couple of things that were sort of not 100%, but probably about 90% of them were really good. But this was... I don't know if it was the best, but it was certainly the most interesting.
Hmm. Do they duplicate themselves year after year? Or do some do and some don't?
No, it's new drinks every year. I've never seen the same stuff twice, although the Negroni pops up a lot.
In various incarnations.
Mm-hmm. So they're not... like, this was a Negroni, but it was not any Negroni I'd ever had before. And they had a couple of other ones. There was a smoked one, if I remember right. But so the standard cocktails sometimes pop up with variations. That's what you, so you'll see that a fair bit.
I wonder if the Negroni leads itself to that because of its...
it's so simple.
It's simple, but it's also not completely for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so if you found somebody that it was for, are they also willing to accept it in a gel form, a pill form, a mist form, and with concrete in it?
And with concrete in it. That was so weird. I was surprised because I said, it's a what now? Oh, well.
I'm here.
Because you can't really look at any of that stuff and say, well, I'm not going to have that. Because you'd end up not having anything.
Right.
And you have to sort of trust these guys that they had 70 plus bartenders there. And you have to, and there's about a third of the, a good chunk of them are from the bars or representing the bars that they worked at. Some were just volunteering here and there and everywhere. But you sort of have to put your faith in these guys and say, if you're paying this much and you got to be a bit adventurous to start with. And so there's no point in looking at something and saying, oh, I'm not going to have that because I don't like that.
Right.
Well, don't show up.
If you're going to the innards and tripe convention,
yes.
And then you say, I don't like any of this.
I don't like liver.
Oh, there's a lot of organs here. Yeah.
And so, and the worst one that I had was just, it was a little too sweet and just didn't have...
Not enough concrete,
I think, is if I was going to put my finger on the one thing. It just had if I had the book here, but it was just, it was just a little too artificial tasting, and I think that was on purpose, but it just didn't work.
Do you remember what it was supposed to be and or called?
No.
Okay.
No, that's why I should have brought the book. Then I could be flipping through a book right now.
Yes, trying to desperately find it and still not
finding it. I might bring it next time. But it was, the little tiny little tiny mini hamburgers. Like mini about, in that they're about the size of a large postage stamp.
Neither rain nor sleet
nor gloom of night.
Yeah, it was a dehydrated brioche. It was a little dehydrated piece of meat, and they had onion foam and ketchup, like a dehydrated ketchup, not paste, just
a slice of
dehydrated ketchup, basically.
Right,
and so you pop it in your mouth, it's like, oh. It tasted like it was a hamburger with all the fixins.
Did it dissolve because it was so...
It virtually dissolved.
Right.
Crazy.
We're very close to having the pill then that I want.
That's right.
I don't have to have a meal. I could just have a pill and
You could have had that and your stomach would have said, I'd be upset, but I have no idea what just happened. It's already gone.
And so instead I will upset Dave's stomach.
That's
and
right.
It would move on.
Yeah. But there are other weird things which I didn't even know. I just kept putting them in my bouche.
Mm.
They had a beef Wellington roll, which that went fast. That booth was cleared out in about an hour.
And they had no extra beef Wellington to bring out?
No.
That's a tricky one to plan for.
So you just got to. I think a lot of people went back for that one because that was super good.
Mm.
Yeah.
How big did you get of a roll? Like a sushi-sized roll?
Yeah, sushi. So it's about this big around and about this much. Laura's was that big. She grabbed the...
She got the big one.
But you just sort of... You go there and they just sort of push the plates at you. The ones that are really busy. So the other guys, they wait for you to just go pick them up. But these guys, they couldn't... There's no time to even put them down on the table. People were just sort of...
Gimme, gimme, gimme.
I was going to tell them that it's people. But that didn't... They weren't buying it.
Like Soylent Green is people?
Yeah, like Soylent Green.
I see. And then they'll
Beef Wellington is people!
Beef Wellington is Wellington. The man himself.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'll talk more about it the next episode, because there's a lot. And I'll bring stuff to remind me of all the other things that I've forgotten. Because you really do forget. By the end of it, you forget what happened at the beginning.
Right, and otherwise you'd have to go through your pictures on Instagram, which people are welcome to do.
Well, that's right. So a lot of it's there. And ask me questions. I will do my best to answer them.
Well.
But I started making notes of it. But it was this. I've done it in past years, and it's worked sort of meh. See, all I've got here is, this is the one. Okay, very good. So the one note I did make.
Yes.
It was a tequila bubble tea.
Oh, okay.
And I've got a note here that it's artificial tasting. But it's bubble tea. which is already artificial tasting. So I guess for people who like bubble tea, they would have said, this is just like the bubble tea I have every day, except it's got tequila in it. What could be better? So that's probably on me or them.
Could be. It could be on you or them. And did you think that you left the place tipsy?
Again, you really, yes. But again, we timed it just right, and the next day we were both right as rain. But no, we were tipsy, and I remember looking at the book the next day and saying, oh, we missed about a quarter of the places. And I remember thinking, well, then that would have, bad things would have happened.
That's right, I wouldn't have stayed at a hotel, I would have stayed at the hospital.
That's right. So
eat more charcoal, Flick. They would be saying to you.
More than likely. So we did it just right. And so, you know, I'm certainly not disappointed. And once again, I tried to use the shaker with the accelerometer. I didn't make it into the top 10, but I was respectable.
Mm.
It was better this year than in past years. So they have an accelerometer on a shaker.
Yes.
And they ask you to, you know...
Shake it.
Which you should do. So I think the idea is to get some... I mean, you probably would score high.
Oh, I'd probably be number one or zero, whatever the best.
Whatever the best is. Yeah, you'd be one or zero for sure. Or 10. I don't know. Well, maybe next year. Who knows?
Maybe. If you win one,
yeah,
you lose one. What? I don't know.
what you lose on the swings, you gains on the roundabouts?
Yes. For another drink.
Pegu Club. The Pegu Club cocktail, named after the Pegu Club.
Is this Pegu Club in New York City?
No. It is. What?
No.
No?
No.
Is there another Pegu Club?
Yep. The Pegu Club is a signature drink of Burma's Pegu Club.
Burma?
Yes. Colonial Burma, now Myanmar.
Right, well, you might know it as Myanmar.
Or you and
but to us, we'll always refer it as Burma.
Burma?
Yeah, so the club was located just outside Rangoon, which I believe is the capital. Rangoon. And its members were those of Britons who were senior government and military officials who were serving in that.
That sounds kind of racist.
Well, I mean, guess that's not.
Well,
like
that. that's how colonialism works.
Oh, right. That's the basis of it. Yeah. I keep forgetting.
And Pegu is a river in Burma. That's what the cocktail's named after.
Huh. The club is named after, and then the cocktail is named after the club.
Yes.
There's also a Pegu club that you use for killing the Burmese mountain cat.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. And is the Pegu club still in existence, do we think?
I don't believe it's in existence in Burma, but apparently the cocktail has made a bit of a resurgence in Burma because of tourism, increased tourism. And there's a version of the cocktail served at the Governor's Residence Hotel and the historic Strand Hotel in Yangon.
Is that the new name for Rangoon, I wonder?
I don't know.
It's my new name.
It's also
Frick
served...
Frick hasn't caught on.
Frick Yangoon.
Inexplicably, it's also served at the Los Angeles Athletics Club. And there is a cocktail lounge in New York City that's adopted the name. So that's where you came in, so...
And so does this go back to the 30s? Are we right in guessing that both of these cocktails are 30s or older?
Yeah, I don't have an exact date on when it was created, but it was in, you know, I would say probably the first part of the 20th century.
It says here in Vintage Spirits and Forgotten Cocktails that it was a 1920s product of British colonial Burma.
Oh.
There you go.
So. Well. What would go into one of these things?
Well,
if you tell me, I'll mix it very slowly at the same time.
Certainly glad you asked. I've been waiting. 1.5 ounces of gin, if you have such a thing.
1.5 ounces?
1.5 ounces. So not like the other one, which is a 1 ounce.
1.5.
A half ounce of Cointreau.
I should have left the Cointreau open.
Oh, you should have kept, you should have. Now here's where it gets tricky. 3/4 of an ounce of fresh lime juice.
Where are you going to get fresh lime juice?
This time of year.
Exactly. Good luck.
Yeah, that's
good heavens. Fortunately, we have some limes right here in our hot little hands.
Oh, are they imported?
They are.
Ah.
They're very imported.
Well, yeah, this is not the same cocktail without them.
And how much of a 3/4 of an ounce?
Of lime juice, which is a fair bit.
It actually is. But that's what keeps the malaria away. I don't know.
It does? No. Scurvy.
Scurvy.
None of us have scurvy.
That we know of.
What? You think Dave might have an undiagnosed case of scurvy?
Well, he does. He's not feeling very well, so it's probably scurvy.
No, I don't think so. I get a lot of vitamin C.
Oh, as well, it's probably the opposite of scurvy.
Oh, yeah.
Scurvo. Yeah, you can't have too much vitamin C. That's bad for you. It mucks up the whole thing.
You can't have too much? You can have too much.
No, you can have. It's awful because they acidify all the food now.
Yeah?
And it'll screw your stomach up if you have too much vitamin C.
No, my stomach.
Well, maybe not, but somebody like Dave.
Dave, sure. Dave, look at him. He's weak.
He's weak from too much vitamin C. And now he's got too much acid.
Linus Pauling used to take 10,000 milligrams.
Linus Pauling?
Yeah, Pauling.
Oh, who's he?
He's the guy that discovered DNA.
Is he dead now?
Oh, he's dead. Oh,
that's too much vitamin C.
But he also believed in vitamin C. And so he...
Is this a shaken one or a stirred one?
Well, funny you should ask. Give it a shake. We're shaking it. Shake, baby, shake. Shake, shake, shake. Oh, there you go.
Your hands get too cold to hold.
That's how you know.
You call the Ghostbusters and they're in control.
So Linus Pauling, yes, he was the big booster of vitamin C. He was a vitamin C booster.
Right.
Is what he was.
Yeah, but he died from excessive vitamin C.
No, I don't think that's what that was.
So true.
He won two Nobel Prizes. One for, I think, chemistry and one for the Peace Prize.
Really?
He was a... very much an anti-war, anti-nuclear activist.
Oh, he'll be able to join Donald Trump. He's
Here it is.
There it is. Look at this wonderful drink.
Well, that's not very red.
No,
that's... looks fantastic. Let's see what...
there's this pink. See? It looks like... Yeah.
That looks like a Tom Collins?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yes, there's no way that this should be as pink as it is in the picture.
This is bad advertising.
This has clear Cointreau in it, it has clear gin in it, and it has lime juice in it. It's going to be a hazy shade of whiteness.
I love that song.
Yeah, I don't know how they got that color. That strikes me as... wrong, I want to say.
I think sometimes pictures are inaccurate.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. They should be more accurate.
They should be more accurate.
Like a sketch?
But you can easily put a filter in front of a thing, and then you are completely out of luck.
Yeah.
Bottoms up, gentlemen.
All right, here we go.
Does it take you back to Burma, circa 1922?
It does. Oh, this would be great on a Burmese balcony.
Right.
Yeah, refreshing drink from the humid jungle.
Yeah.
The humid jungle.
It's, human jungle.
It's not very sweet.
No, it's quite tart. It certainly tastes the gin, though.
Yeah, no, it's a gin forward for sure. So much sweeter than the Lucien, as I like to call them. We're on a first-name basis.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Ever since you joined the Pegu Club.
Ever since I joined the Pegu Club. Yes. There you go, folks.
Thank you very much.
Would you order this one again, Mr. Coyne?
I think I would. It's quite appealing, quite refreshing.
Is this if I was drinking what I call this a summertime drink?
I would say.
Yeah, it clears the fog. It creates a new fog.
Yes, replaces the fog with a fog of your own choosing.
There's a lot going for it.
Is it greater than the sum of its parts? If I told you this had gin, Cointreau, and lime juice in it, would you say, pshaw?
Yeah, I would say pshaw. Or I'd say, pshaw.
Oh, right, because you're a thespian. You get Playboy, right?
I do.
Now, one thing that Ted Haig said in this recipe, he said most of the recipes I've seen call for orange curacao instead of Cointreau.
Right.
And include a dash of and includes a dash of orange bitters.
did I mention bitters?
You did not mention that it was to have bitters in it.
I was so excited about the rest of it.
Oh,
well, I've already used up mine.
Drunk yours?
You'll have to trust your...
Well, bitters are always a little flavor enhancer, so just put a drop in there. That's probably all you need, eh?
Yeah.
A little bitters goes a long way. Mm-hmm. Sorry, folks at home, because...
I was reading the book, and then I got all carried away by your shaking.
Yes. Well, but we do know that it's very tasty without the bitters. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't have bitters in your home bar, don't worry about it. Huh?
Yeah.
Now you hate it, don't you? The bitters wrecked it.
It did. I'm going to put a little more bitters in.
Mm-hmm.
I can barely taste them.
That's the rat poison. I don't know why I keep it right next to the Angostura bitters.
That's the wrong place. The labels are so similar.
I know.
Well, it's an easy mistake to make.
I keep my rat poison in the old Angostura bottle.
That explains it then. Maybe that's... you think, the colors from... If you put that much bitters in here, it'd be just a... All bitters.
What does it say bitters-wise? A couple of dashes or...
Two dashes of Angostura bitters.
Yeah, I guess if they were great big dashes, you might get a bit of that. Because, it's concentrated and it will color it a little bit. But it's not... Are you going to put enough in to make it orange?
You'll see how many it takes. There you go.
There, that's... Oh, my goodness, yes.
See if that does it.
Yes. I think the secret is to keep putting your pinky in.
Yeah.
But there,
that's getting close.
That's got the color now. Yes.
All right. This is on me, again.
If you don't enjoy the flavor.
But now it's...
Well, you can't just trust it off of your pinky. I know that you...
okay, good point.
Yeah, you're going to have to try one out of the glass.
Out of the glass itself?
Mmm. With a lot of oxygen, apparently.
Wrong way?
Well... We're accepting applications for
a new co-host.
Elegant Leisure.
Leave a comment with your biographical information.
It's a titch better.
Titch better. Okay.
Titch better.
You might have to pour a smidge into Dave's stray shot glass, just so we can get an idea from that.
I don't know. Francis dipped his finger in it. I don't...
Oh, that's true.
But it's full of alcohol.
It's full of alcohol.
Oh, yeah. So, as am I.
Yeah, it does change it a bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to the better, do you think? More interesting?
Or maybe just different.
I think it's just different. It's a little spicier.
That's the rat poison, I tell you.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that.
Pegu Club.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of them, actually, I think I saw a Pegu Club recipe that also asked for, instead of two of Angostura, it said one Angostura and one orange bitters.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, okay.
But that's where you start getting into the minutiae, and people start to, this is our Pegu Club, right?
Yes.
And you start adding different bitters and say, I'm going to use the bourbon bitters, and that changes everything.
Yeah, right? Walnut bitters, this kind of bitters.
Yeah.
Then there'll be one made at that club in Waikiki, and it'll also have pineapple juice in it. And you're just like, this is no longer the Pegu Club. Yeah. Stop putting pineapple juice in everything, morons.
It's not even native to Hawaii.
It's not even native to Hawaii. No.
But what if you're on a boat from Burma to the U.S. and you stop in Hawaii on the way?
Right. Well, that would be great. I'd do that.
All right. Just asking.
Is there one going?
No. Maybe. I don't know. We'll look into it. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Sounds like the same journey of that boat they always talk about. Vancouver.
The Aquavit?
The Komagata Maru.
Oh, the Komagata Maru, yeah. Mm. Yeah, that'll work.
I was confused that with the thing in Star Trek.
Yeah, similar sounding. What's that one called?
I don't know. I can never remember which one.
which one? Kirk outwitted everybody, or Kobayashi Maru?
Is Maru in it?
Yeah, oh, it's Maru because they're both. Maru is it's a Japanese. It's like HMS.
Oh.
Maru is the Japanese sort of version of that. So that means it was Japanese ship.
Oh.
Japanese flag.
Wow.
Well, this guy.
Who knew Maru?
Who knew Maru? That's my nickname.
So in Maroon 5, most of those guys are Japanese.
I think if you look at the pictures, it's clear that they are.
And it'd be funny to do a band called Maru 5. It's all Japanese guys. Or K-pop. Oh, you don't confuse your Koreans with your Japanese.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Kobayashi Maru, feelings. Star Trek.
Kobayashi Maru, Star Trek, and now Komagata Maru, mm-hmm. Vancouver.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, because it was dead air.
That's a ship's bell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So of the two drinks, gentlemen, of elegant leisure that you are, which one do you prefer? Or is it one of those ones where you say, well, I would like this if I was mourning a lost one, and I would like this one if I was mowing a lost lawn?
Mm. I lean towards the Lucien.
Mm, okay.
Because I seem to be a Negronophile.
Good. I'll put that on your tombstone, Freck.
That being said, this is pretty good. This, you know, I think this would be great on a nice hot day. You know, it would, you know, the citrus would, you know, help you help clear your parched throat. Would is that what it does?
That's a hot day.
That's a hot day.
A hot day on
water. How about this? Okay.
If you were on Mercury in the summertime.
Yeah.
And what about you? Speaking of hot Daves, what does hot Dave, what are you
prefer? I'm going for the Pegu. Because I'm a big supporter of colonialism. No. I'm in the British military in the 1920s. Mm-hmm. No, I like the Pegu because, well, it's gin. And I like my gin.
It's clean and clear. Yeah. I mean, it's just right there in your face. I mean, it's a, oh, yeah, so I'm feeling a bit parched. I mean, well, yeah, have one of these. That'll set you right. That's exactly what you got there.
That's Fred. That's not me.
Sounds like you.
That's right. Sounds like you clearing your throat. Yeah. Fred doing the British accent of an old colonial character.
Yeah. But,
Bounder.
They're both pretty good.
Yeah.
I have to say.
Well chosen. And you know, Dave chose these two.
Dave, you know, he's a, you know, he's not just a pretty face.
But
no, he's got some brains too. I mean, I know he wears glasses to try and downplay, you know.
I was under the impression that he was all pretty face and no substance.
I know.
Pretty face coin.
Yeah.
But look at
the one of those notorious gangsters of the 1930s.
Burmese gangster.
But I don't think you could go wrong making either one of these. I think you'd be pretty pleased if you know what what you're going to get. And so with the Pegu Club, you're going to get something pretty citrusy. But it's.
And do we draw any conclusions in the fact that they're both gin and Cointreau?
Mm.
Or
well, I think you should have more drinks.
But with they gin certainly and don't taste similar at all.
Completely different. Yeah. It's, I mean, gin and Cointreau is a good base, and I think. You can't go wrong starting with that and throw your own stuff into it and see what comes out.
Right.
You know, elderflower liqueur.
Sure. If you got it.
If you got it. Galliano. I don't know, whatever. Just throw it in there. You start with these two. Make your own cocktail.
Irish whiskey?
No.
No.
Never.
It was worth a shot.
You just drink that one neat. You just throw it back.
Right.
The way it's supposed to be done.
Nice.
Yeah.
And if you had to say there was a theme... Flavor-wise, is there a theme at all flavor-wise?
No.
These aren't colonial drinks. These aren't anything. These are two different drinks that involve gin and Cointreau as the base.
Yeah, which should, you would think, would taste closer. But the gin is so absent from the Lucien because of the strength of the other ones. And it's really up near the front with the Pegu Club. So, but yeah, surprisingly different considering the similarity in the ingredients. I was thinking, well, we're making the same drink twice.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not.
No.
No.
We wouldn't dare.
No. Except for the whiskey sour, which we keep doing over and over again. Until we get it right.
Yes, we now have a search feature on our homepage, mm-hmm. the www.gentlemenofelegantleisure.com. So if you were to go there and you said, well, what do their drinks have gin in it? You type gin up there and you're going to get all of the drinks that we have gin in.
Damn, that sounds easy.
Yeah. Grenadine?
Yeah.
You can put that in. You could probably even put Gren. I didn't try.
Yeah.
I'm a full word type of guy.
Oh, you are.
But I think that might be helpful for some people.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is another reason to visit our website.
Another reason to visit our website. As well as to leave a comment. Let us know you're out there.
Who visited our website this past couple of weeks?
Well, I begged people to contact us because, as you know, we're only going to do 4 more of these after this one, and then we quit unless people save.
Right, but we had Laird's.
Oh, yes, Laird's Applejack. Yes. We used Laird's Applejack on the last show, and they did a little recommendation for our last episode.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Laird's.
Thank you, Laird's.
Yeah, they did a shout-out to all their followers to listen to us. So
we'll see. We did get a Weebly comment today from Australian Essay Writing Services.
Excuse me?
Would you stop giving them publicity? Would you just... is there any way you can permanently ban them from leaving comments?
I could, but until other people leave comments, Australian Essay Writing
or
Services...
Or Fred leaving comments.
I do it for the other people, not for you.
What did they have to say?
They said that whatever the drink was that they were talking about was a very helpful sort of a drink that they would also like to make if they liked that kind of a drink. Yeah. And that they had a friend that could make a drink for them that might make them a drink much like that drink, and to thank us for doing it.
Thank you, Australia Writing Service.
That sound a lot like my essays from grade 8.
Yeah. I'll just filler words just to pad out the whole essay.
How many words does it have to be? Okay.
1,500.
I can do 1,500.
And so please check out our website and look at the comments and see what people have left, and then you can even comment on those comments. We would love to hear comments just to know that you're out there. But prior to this, we had 3 comments from the last show, when we taped that, but everybody's gone radio silent. And you can save a podcast. Let us know you're out there.
Podcast.
Otherwise, Frick is just going to drink all by himself at home on a Tuesday night.
Which you can see because I post every drink, almost every drink.
You'll just hear an hour of... That's all.
What did I do? I did some drinks recently.
Did you?
Oh, I did a hot toddy. I did a hot toddy because there was a hot toddy at that thing I did, whatever that was called.
Science of Cocktail?
Yeah, there you go. The Grand Marnier. It's funny because Lori was asking, so what kind of alcohols are in it? So usually quite often a station is sponsored by, whether it's a whiskey or it's a gin or something. So that's the signature alcohol. So they don't like to have other people playing, so they're not going to say, "Oh, it's Grand Marnier and Appleton Rum," because they're two separate companies, and so you're going to only have Grand Marnier and some rum. So this was a hot toddy. It was a Grand Marnier hot toddy, and they had rum syrup, so they didn't have to name any rum. And I can't remember what else was in there. Anyway, so I made my own version of that. I used. But because I'm not bound by any of these rules, I used the spice rum that you recommended.
The lemon heart spice rum.
Lemon heart spice rum. And that was kind of wackadoodle.
Mm.
Because the Grand Marnier is here, and the spice rum is all... But it was kind of neat, because maybe we should, at some point, maybe we'll do a toddy show.
We've done a toddy show before, haven't we?
We'll do another one.
I think we have done toddies.
There's more than two toddies.
Two toddies? Who knew?
A tale of two toddies.
Well, what we should do is, because Laird's Applejack found out about us having Laird's Applejack in our last one, we should let the Tanqueray people know, and the Campari people know, and the Cointreau people know.
Yeah, we tag them from time to time.
Yeah, so they know that, especially Tanqueray and Cointreau, they were both featured in both these drinks.
Holy cow. They've, featured up the wazoo. I was going to say something else, but that's just rude.
Yeah, no, you're a class act, Frick.
I don't think Frick's going to work.
No, I think Frick's stuck.
Frick is stuck. But that was good, though. I did another one a couple of days later. And it was, I did a Demerara. And it was a little more, it wasn't as in your face. The Demerara is a little bit more mild than the spice rum, so I'm going to do another one with, like a 7-year-old.
Now, that lemon heart spice rum, is that a Demerara base, though? Because that's kind of what lemon heart does.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's tar-like. in taste. It doesn't pour like tar, fortunately.
Yeah.
It pours more like rum.
If your rum is as thick as ketchup, that's not rum.
You've grabbed the wrong bottle. It might be HP sauce.
Yeah.
Don't buy that at Costco, because it looks just like a rum bottle. But I like the idea of the Grand Marnier as a base for a toddy. It's kind of neat.
That would be neat.
Just a citrus, so there's no cinnamon stick. That doesn't go that way. It's real basic. And I guess there's rules for toddies, as I think they pointed out in their little blurb. So there's no... some people throw too much stuff in their toddy. I mean, this isn't the toddy episode. I don't want to,
you don't want to spoil it.
No, but it's more citrusy.
What shouldn't you throw in your toddy?
Milk. Cinnamon sticks. Milk. It's supposed to be simple. It's like having a whiskey sour and then throwing in, you know,
pineapple juice. Looking at you, Hawaii.
Yeah. So there's so many variations on toddies without having to resort to nonsense. And so it's too strong, one sweet, half something else or something.
I guess the toddy is such an old drink that I guess it would follow those rules, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway.
Is there a certain amount of hot water in a toddy too?
Yes, yeah. Some hot water, it thins it out. And, I'd just been out shoveling snow for about an hour and a half, and it really was good.
Yeah, no, it fixed you right up, apparently.
It has to be served in a metal cup.
Yeah.
When prisoners.
Because when you thin it out with hot water, it takes it all the way down to
20%. Yeah, I know, exactly. Baby food.
Baby, like a baby cocktail. So it was great.
Wow.
So that just reminded me of that. Anyway. A drink that we didn't do this episode, but
nope. These are all cold drinks. This one, and we want you to make them both and leave a comment on the website www.gentlemenofelegantleisure.com. There's pictures of the drinks and the recipes there, which we shouldn't do either.
No, we're giving it away for free.
That's right.
Well, people aren't going to buy the milk. No, how does that go?
Are you trying to get me to date a cow again?
They got lipstick on. So, the Pegu Club is the easiest one to make. It's the chance you've got. There's a better chance you're going to have those ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go with the Pegu Club because it's just gin, Cointreau. Who doesn't have gin and Cointreau?
Exactly.
If you're listening to this show,
yes. If you're listening to a cocktail show, you don't have gin and Cointreau.
You're fired.
That's right. Leave a comment though before you go, so we know you were listening.
But it's gin, Cointreau, lime juice, and bitters, and. It's pretty cool. And it's classy.
Mm.
And people won't call you a drunk, I guarantee it.
Yes. If you have to do the other one that involves Campari, it's not for everybody, but it is for everybody once you try it and get used to it.
Then you'll always have Campari.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You won't have nothing but Campari.
The kids will say, I want some Kool-Aid. They'll have some Campari.
That's right. It's a fun red color. Oh, yeah!
We'll make it with soda. It's just like... strawberry, whatever, pop.
Yeah, do they even have a thing on the back with it, soda? I can't read it. No, it's got the Negroni and they got the Campari orange.
Oh, what's in the Campari orange?
Dave will have to read it. They put it in medicine writing.
Campari orange is one part Campari, three parts orange juice.
Oh, well.
Pretty simple.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Sure it is. Can you do...
bitter and acidic is what they would
do. Yes. Can you swap one of those parts out for gin at some point?
You can, and you can. And that gives you naming rights.
That's right. It does. Yeah.
Very nice. And also, if you don't go to our website, but you should. But if you don't, you can go to our social media channels, YouTube. You can go to YouTube.
This might be on YouTube.
Yeah, it might be on.
The battery hasn't run out.
No. Mm,
fun.
And Instagram, Cocktail Podcast, and Facebook, which is Cocktail Gents.
Yeah, come see my play, A Comedy in Tenors. Closing night, the day this comes out.
It won't do you much good.
No. This will come out this Saturday.
It'll be sold out.
Closing night?
Yeah, closing night. We're in this week.
I don't think so.
Well, everybody else does.
Did you open the week that we recorded the last one?
Yeah. That was my one night off.
And then we had a week, and then this would be the third week. Yeah, so don't go see Fred. Unless you get this...
Unless you're prompt.
Yeah, that's right. When this comes out on Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Unless somebody hacks Jason's computer and releases it.
The North Koreans.
Yeah.
If the North Koreans release this early,
then you're locked.
How is the play going?
Really good.
Really?
Yeah, we're sold out on the weekend.
So people can't come anyway.
Oh, well, it's time now, but don't wait until the day of. Like, if you don't come up to the door on Saturday and say, I'd like a ticket for tonight's show, because it'll probably be sold out.
Right, but that's when they're going to hear about it.
Well, if they do it in the morning.
Oh, okay. We got to get poor Dave to bed.
No, oh, yeah, hospital.
Or you and I are likely to get ill, and you'll have to be replaced on the final night.
Yeah. That's okay. I've got an understudy.
Well, if you got an understudy, then...
Lori Titch. Right.
Then kiss Dave right on the mouth. Turn on the kiss cam.
No.
This is what we've been waiting for.
I could use a hot toddy.
You could use a hot toddy.
Fred, make me a hot toddy before you go. Is that it, gents?
I think that's it.
That's it.
I'm exhausted.
I'm Jason.
Oh.
And that's Dave.
And that's Frick exhausted.
We'll see you next time.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
The Gentleman of Elegant Leisure.
You that's can't not end how it like, ends.
That's oh, not that's, how it ends.
That's how the new one
That's
ends.
How it starts. That's how you're starting a new episode.
But isn't that a better ending? I'll see you next time on The Gentleman of Elegant Leisure.
Well, yeah, but, you know, we've got
a press. We've got a, you know, we've got a motto.
Yeah, it's going to take us 5 minutes to get there.
It's not really a motto.
No?
They just found Tip Big carved in a...
over the archway of a bar?
The Phoenicians used to tip big.
Yeah?
It's in a few documents, but it's not a motto per se.
Oh, I gotcha.
But you'd like us to wipe it up with that? Wrap it up?
Unless you just wanted to cut it right now, which you could do.
I could.
Wouldn't that be funny?
That's right. In fact, if you have an editor that's cutting your show together, and he does a great, great job, you should be like a Gentleman of Elegant Leisure.
Yeah.
And look your editor in the face.
Yeah.
Say, this is for you. Oh, no, I went the wrong way again. Here's what you should do. You, as a Gentleman of Elegant Leisure.
You point over there.
No, nobody watches these things, but people listen. And you should be a Gentleman of Elegant Leisure, and you should...
Tip big. I don't think that's going to work.